Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Well, if you've been a Christian for a while or going to church for a while, you'll probably recognize some passages that I'm going to refer to this morning. I might paraphrase some of them. I might read a couple of verses. But many of you will be able to recall it. If not, I will give, references of where they're found. And you can always look them up later or when this, a few days from now, this sermon will be up on our website and you can pause and play and write them down and read them for yourself. Encourage you to do that. Why don't you just pause for a moment? We don't spend a lot of time looking backwards in our life, right? Forgets what's behind, press on towards what's ahead. But we also are called to remember things, right, that lead us to remember God's faithfulness, kindness, goodness, all that. Do you remember where the Lord dug you up from? Is that a good way to put it? Do you remember where he went and found you? Huh? Do you remember a little bit of what life was like? And that he brought you in. You know, there's this beautiful story. And when I say story, I mean historical account, not some made-up story. It's found in Luke chapter 7. And Jesus was ministering and doing things. And then one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to come to his house for a meal. And there were other guests there, some other Pharisees. And so Jesus comes, and he shows up. And when he's there, there's this woman who brought a special oil, expensive oil, with her. She heard that Jesus was going to be at this Pharisee's house. She somehow got the news that he was going to be there. And during Jesus' time there at this Pharisee's house, she's standing near Jesus' feet where he is reclined, along with the others who have the privilege of being around the table and around the food. And she begins anointing his feet with this oil and drying his feet with her hair. Even says that she was kissing his feet. And of course, this drew quite a bit of attention from those around the table. And in fact, the host even says things to his friends and colleagues who are Pharisees and those in the house. If he only knew what kind of woman was doing this to him, because she is a sinful woman. And Jesus, at one point, he says to Simon, the Pharisee Simon, says, I have something to tell you. I have something to say to you. And Simon says, go ahead and say it. And so Jesus does. He says, when I came in, you didn't wash my feet, which was customary when you go into somebody's house. Not our custom, but their custom. And they didn't do that for Jesus. They did it for other guests. And they were showing other disrespect and compared to the other guests. And Jesus says, but this woman, ever since I came in, ever since I reclined at your table, she's been showing all these acts of kindness. And Jesus says, the person who's forgiven much does what? Loves much. Say it, loves much. Those who are forgiven little seem to love little. I want you to remember where Jesus dug you from. And maybe not where, for some, it's not where he dug you from. Maybe you grew up in a Christian home and things were pretty good. I mean, you still experienced real life. But maybe some of you can't even look back and say, this is when I asked Jesus into my heart. I don't remember. I just kind of grew up in the faith, in the church, in a Christian home. I know I've said the prayer somewhere or, you know, however that unfolded for you. And life's been pretty good. It doesn't mean that you're going to love Jesus less. It just says when you discover how much Christ means and what he's done to redeem us from ourself. You know, for some who have kind of grown up in the faith, it's not like you're not acquainted with sin. Because I know us. Right? In fact, some ways when you know Christ and feel responsible and you know better and you commit sin, sometimes the guilt seems twice as damning. So think about those moments of his grace and forgiveness. Maybe the private sins that not even your closest friend or family member know. And I'm not causing you to dwell on it. I'm saying that there has been a redemption for us that should cause us to love him so much more. You know, are we the ones that sit around the table? Or are we the ones bringing something of value to show our love for him? You know, people come to faith in Christ for, well, probably different reasons. Let me ask you something as the saved, the redeemed, the righteous. If there weren't as many blessings as we know that come from the Lord to us, would you still love him and follow him? Would you still obey him? That's a good litmus test for me. Lord, you've done a lot of things for me, and you've brought a lot of blessings into my life. What if some of these things were not promised to me, and there was, you know, maybe some more consequence to some of the things that I've said or done or held in my heart? Would I still follow you? Would I still obey you? Would I still love you? Now, Jesus being Jesus as we know him and the scripture and God's promises, there's such a fullness. But if some of these blessings were not included, you see, is this about the salvation in this life? Is it about escaping, you know, eternal disaster and destruction? I mean, part of that is yes. And we can go through the list. But am I doing it just to save my hide? Or can I break through the motive and deep within me, is there a love for him? I mean, we love him because he first loved us. Scripture's clear. But is our gratitude so deep that it would move us to maybe stand out from the rest of the crowd and somehow display a love for Jesus? Not to be self-righteous and others think we're holy, but we just love him so very much. There's a lot of blessings, a lot of reasons to follow him. But I'd like for the motivation as we mature in him, I'd like the motivation for us to be that because we love him. That we remember where we came from, where he rescued us from. Or even after he rescued us and we became a person of faith and salvation was for us, but we had some dark hours, we made some poor choices, we found ourselves in predicaments that we contributed to in our life. And that we come to Him and we find hope. We find a grace, a mercy that can wipe away the past and launch us into brighter days. And that's good and it's right and it should be part of the thing that, you know, by His Spirit, inspires us for sure. But do we move to a place of loving Him more? That this is about loving Him. Would I love Him even without some of the blessings? Would I love Him and serve Him without some of these other blessings that come along, these things that He does out of His kindness? Would I still follow Him? It's almost like saying, if I wouldn't get caught, would I still choose to follow Him? It's kind of a litmus test to monitor maybe our true love for the Lord. And I'm not just talking about sentiment. You see, this woman somewhere encountered Jesus and received forgiveness. She had a history somewhere with Jesus. She found out He was going to be there, and she came with an offering of gratitude. Who cares what anybody thinks? This is what I'm bringing to Him because I love Him so much. He gave me a hope. He gave me a future, but He took time for me. He loved me. He didn't throw me aside like I deserved or like the community has treated me. This Him loving us first, we love Him back. But let this love inspire us to continue to show gratitude and follow Him, whether it's blessing or not. Here's a little litmus test for us. When we pray and we think we've obeyed Him and we don't see the blessing manifest or manifest on our schedule or our demand, how quickly are we to turn away from Him? I obeyed Your word, I tithed, I went to church, and now I have unanswered prayers and expectations, and you know what? I am disgruntled in my faith, and I am going to be distant from You, and I don't know if I'm going to love You so much. I don't know, have you ever had something like that go on in your life? Will you still love Him? Will you still follow Him? You know, here He is with the self-righteous people. And it's interesting that the self-righteous people didn't have any gratitude. But the broken woman sure did. She found forgiveness. She found being treated by Jesus. Something that was extraordinary. Have you and I found that? Do we remember it? Can we move it to the forefront so that we don't put Jesus in the background? You know, I was called upon this last week to do a funeral. Didn't know her very well. Met her on a few occasions over the years because some family is connected to this church, so I met her and other family and her husband. Met them on a few occasions at other family funerals. I didn't really come here. Most of the family doesn't come here. Certainly their circle of friends don't come here. This was the setting. And they didn't really want a funeral service, but out of kindness and experience with a couple of the family, they just said, would you just come and share a few words and at the end of the visitation in the evening. And so I'm grateful
that they trust me on a day that's personal like that? And I said, yes. And talked about my thought in the end was about John chapter 4, where Jesus meets a woman at the well. And you're familiar with it. Interesting, Jesus didn't condemn her and didn't tell her about all the pain and sin of her past, you know, having five husbands, the man she's now with, she's not married to. And Jesus didn't go into, we don't see him going into a whole dissertation of, hey, you shouldn't be living together and you're, this is your sin and you're, all this. He offered her hope. He offered her life. Because this one, so far, wasn't turning out real well. A lot of hurt, a lot of pain, sin, hers, others. You know, all this is going on. And why did Jesus do it? I mean, he broke barriers to do this. He broke a racial barrier. She was a Samaritan. He was Jewish. They did not get along. He broke the gender barrier. He should not be talking to a woman privately in public like this. But he had an agenda to bring hope to a broken, somebody with a troubled past, somebody who's dealing with pain, and somebody that the community pointed at, scoffed at, gossiped about, talked about. That's what they did. That's why she came to the well in the middle of the day. No one's there. You don't go in the heat of the day to carry water. They went in the mornings and evenings. And here's Jesus in the middle of the day. So I talked about that because this gal who died, who I only met on a few occasions, I saw her and her husband probably on a couple of poker runs. And well, poker makes you nervous. It's not that. It's a fundraiser for those who ride Harley Davidsons and then some who ride other brands. Relax, I'm just having a little fun. And her life was changed. She wasn't the same. Jesus, that encounter with him made a difference. She found out about living water. She found out about redemption. You think she loved him? Think she loved that experience? Nah, we find out that it changes her life because she runs back into town and starts telling everybody about it. The people who criticized her and treats her like an outcast, that they all come running out to meet the man, to meet Jesus. Gratitude, love for him, has different effects on us. One should always be that we should have a lavish, committed love for him. And secondly, it should lead us to other people. She ran back into town, told them all about it. They had to come out and see for themselves. This man who basically told her all about her life and didn't condemn her, but gave her hope. What hope would you have without him? What hope would I have? What future could I possibly have? Well, anything this world offers is never enough. It's never enough. It's not enough. And the things of this life the world offers will never lead us to an eternal home because none of that stuff gets to go with us. Right? We got to take the litmus test from time to time. How deep is my gratitude? How deep is my love for him? Yeah. You know,
Yesterday, my wife and granddaughter, Libby, they were at an auction yesterday. It was indoors. If it was outside, my wife likes old junk or quality item. She's not going to stand out in, you know, single-digit temperatures here in the winter to do it. But so Justin and Brittany were away, and so Parker got to hang out with Pastor Brock a little bit yesterday, and they ran around and did whatever Brock needed to do. And I got William and Jackson. Watched them at their home, took them by place, ran around, blah, 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 blah. And ended up at the auction. I figured I better bring the truck. You just don't know what she bought. So we hung out there for an hour. She took the kids, and I took some small items that Sue bid on. Not very much, just some little things. And before I left, it was held at Club 16. Most of you know where that's at. Was held in the, well, a reception hall area, pretty big room. And the place was emptying out. I was talking with a family who had some stuff just to see if they needed a hand with anything. And I was getting hungry. I took care of feeding the boys and stuff during the day, but I didn't eat. And understand they have pretty good burgers and things, and so I strolled from the auction room and walked up into, you have to order at the bar. So I walked up into the bar area. Now some of you are like, that's it, I'm done with this pastor. Well, okay. I'm not saying this to offend you or suggesting you should go hang out in bars and taverns. That's not what I'm telling you. Walked up into the bar area, and not every seat was taken, and I didn't sit at the bar, not that I couldn't have. I was going to order a burger, a cheeseburger and fries to go. Walked in, and there was a fella here, and, well, there were some, like I said, people were kind of lined up. They weren't quite like birds on a high line, but close, right? And walked in, and there was a gap, and so I just kind of stood there thinking this is where they say, okay, can I, probably going to say, hey, can I get you something to drink? And that's where my opportunity to say no, but I'd like to order a burger and fries to go. Well, I stood there, and she was busy walking back and forth, and I'm standing there, and this gal, this guy in between us and this gal, they were together, and she goes, hey. I said, hi, dear. And of course, he spun his head and turned around like, who's she talking to? And she goes, how's it going, Pastor Randy? And now the guy goes, oh, you're a pastor? And then the bartender lady, she comes walking out of the side room back across, and she goes, hey, Pastor Randy. I mean, they're talking to me like I'm a steady customer. I'm not. You know who I'm talking about. And she goes, yeah, just a minute. You know, like, she's busy, and I get it. So now he starts talking to me. Introduced himself. So you're a pastor. I said, yeah. Because, you know, I wasn't wearing my collar like I do on like I do on Sundays. And yeah, he goes, what church? Well, they start answering where I'm, and then somebody else was down the way, hey, Pastor, you know, it's like, I got a microphone in this room, and I'm not holding it. They're the microphone. So they tell him what church I pastor, and by the way, other than the gal behind the bar, the bartender, barmaid, I'm not sure what the terms are. Is that close enough? Okay. Bartender, all right. I assume that was, but in this day and age, they change titles, and I'm not really up on all that. He says, and of course, he's talking quite loud because
I don't know that he's under his own influence at this point, right, completely. And so he's talking a little loud. So now he goes, so can anybody come to your church? I said, yep. No, I didn't do that. I said, yeah, everybody's welcome to come. And then he goes into his disgruntled experiences about his church history. And you might say, there's no use talking to somebody who's inebriated. I believe at some point there's a measure of truth in that. However, at this moment, he wasn't the only person in the room. Because I'm guessing that the rest of them around the bar that were listening to all of this found it a little peculiar that maybe a pastor was standing at the bar. I don't know. Or that I walked in and they started calling me pastor. So we had some conversation. He did most of the talking. I did most of the listening. And then over a couple of seats, this lady moves out and around and comes and stands behind him. Little older lady. It's his mom. I don't know if she couldn't hear that good over there or she was moving over like, oh boy, I sure hope he doesn't say something stupid. I can choke him from the back. You know. She comes in, and so she's part of the conversation, just lightly and all that. And close to 15 minutes went by, and I just let him know that everybody's welcome here, because he talked about how he was looked at other places where he went and how he didn't care for how he felt. And whether it's true or not, that was his impression, even under the influence. He could quickly recall that and shout it throughout the bar when he thinks he's just talking. So people got to listen to this, and they got to watch it. After about 15 minutes, I said, it was nice to meet you. I'm gonna head out. I left without the burger and fries because she never came over and asked what I wanted to eat. So, and I wasn't mad. I turned around and walked out and I said, oh, that's what that was about. It wasn't about my burger and fries in my stomach. It was about walking up into a bar area thinking I was ordering food, and it turned into something else for people there. John 21, this is after Jesus was crucified, dead, and buried, and rose again. He's on the shore, he's making fish breakfast, and the disciples are out fishing, and they turn and recognize it's him, and they make their way to shore. And you know this, is, for those who are familiar, this is the account where Jesus asked Peter, kind of pulls him aside and says, Peter, do you love me? This is after Peter. Remember, Peter denied Jesus, knowing Jesus, affiliating with Jesus during his suffering and trial, remember? He denied Jesus three times before the rooster crowed, which he was told he would do. Now there are some of the disciples and Peter's there, and Jesus pulls him aside and says, Peter, do you love me? And where did Peter come from, and what do you think he experienced with Jesus those 3.5 years of ministry? All the things they did together, things they experienced together. The teaching of Jesus, the conduct of Jesus, the kindness of Jesus. Watching how Jesus treated broken people like the woman who showed up at the dinner or the woman at the well or the broken and blind Bartimaeus, and how he treated humanity. And now he's standing on shore with Jesus, carrying guilt. And Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? He asked Peter three times. Peter gets a little annoyed, and he says, Jesus, you know that I love you. One of the ways that we show our love for the Lord is to
obey the instruction of Jesus. When Peter confesses his love for Jesus three times, which, by the way, matches the number of denials. He says, Jesus, you know I love you. And he says, Peter, if you love me, he says, feed my sheep or go reach people. Go recover the lost sheep of Israel. You see, after we experience this love of the Lord and that we love him back, one of the expressions of that love is how we go reach people. The question for us is, who we've been reaching lately? Are we too busy just being in the stands cheering on our kid, which we're supposed to do? Our children are poor, we cheer them on. But is that the whole reason you're there? You think Jesus' whole reason showing up on shore was just to make them breakfast? Me walking into a funeral and I open the doors and there's a group of them right there. I mean, they've just been drinking as they're grieving and visiting together. I walked right into the funeral director's office just to say hi, and I'm Pastor Randy, and you know, introduce myself. I said, yeah, the service really isn't much of a service. It's just kind of me sharing some things. Somebody else might share something. And he goes, yeah, I don't know if you're going to get anybody to share anything. Most of them have been standing out here just kind of drinking. I said, oh, yeah, don't worry about it. Like, yeah. I mean, I don't want them doing that, but so what? Right? I mean, if you don't know the Lord, we're going to do all kinds of stuff. Right? I'm not here to put my finger in their face. I'm here to put my finger and point it towards the one who brings hope. Right? So, if you remember where you were dug from and how the Lord redeemed you, one of the ways that you show gratitude and love for him is that you go and treat people like Jesus treated you. And you and I can't be afraid to get some dirt on us. I don't mean sin, but get dirt on us. To be able to walk over to somebody or people that maybe you wouldn't naturally associate with, and you just have a conversation. And I'll tell you what, listening is sometimes more powerful than talking the whole time. Ask a couple questions and they just start. And you get to interject. And you get to care. Maybe nobody else listens to them. Nobody takes an interest in them. Nobody who doesn't participate in what they do shows them kindness. They just walk by and turn their head or turn their back or whatever it is. For some of us, we need to really remember where he got us from. And for some of us, we need to remember how he stayed faithful even after we knew him and we didn't. Some of us who hide stuff in our private life that if you would gasp or you would be afraid people would gasp if they knew, Jesus knows, but he still just kind of takes us and tries to move in our hearts and continue to move towards gratitude and obedience to him. But part of our expression of love for him is how we love each other and how we love people. You've heard this message, most of you. This is not some remarkable, brand new message and some great, deep theological teaching. I'm just telling you, if you love the Lord, love people. And if you've only been loving him, you're not loving him as much as you think if you're not loving people. Once you remember, there's some strangers out there that you and I are around all the time. Would you stop just walking by all of them? And I know you're in a hurry, and I know you got a busy life. but this life counts. And where would you be if someone didn't tell you the gospel or give you the opportunity to hear? And you might assume they're not going to listen, they're not going to care. We're just called to plant seeds and water. You leave the increase up to the Lord, that's His job. Right? Yeah. I want you to turn to a couple people around you and look at them and just tenderly say, who are you going to reach this week? Who are you going to reach this week? Or will you continue to live in your bubble, right? Will you continue to live in your bubble or live inside your shell or whatever it is, whatever you want to call it, the busyness of your life? I want to remind you today, the love of our Lord that we have for Him because of Him loving us has to produce a passionate love for people.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.